That you give away these CDs. That's when you gave me
the
at
demo
your shows.
EP, the CD, whatever you want to call it.
The obligatory EP, yeah.
Right. Yeah, give them away. I don't.
Are you working on an album, or is this just a chance for people to take music away from your shows?
I want them to take music away and do whatever they want to with it. I do have, however, a song on a compilation album that is for sale. Can I plug that?
No. Of course.
it's a compilation called Sound of Superman, and it's connected to the movie Superman Returns, but it's not actually the soundtrack of Superman Returns. The soundtrack is all orchestrated by John Ottman, orchestral, mm-hmm. you know, music. But this is a compilation album. It's got
sort of
American
like music
Hi-Fi.
From and inspired
exactly.
by.
Exactly. It's got American Hi-Fi. It's got Jack's Mannequin. It's got.
I think all the Man movies have to do that. All the like Batman has that as well. Inspired by it. It wasn't actually in the movie, but.
Oh yeah. And it's the last track on the album, so you can go on iTunes, you can go Amazon, you can go to the music stores.
That you have a connection to Superman Returns. The arts run in your family, and your brother's doing quite well. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
My brother is playing the part of Superman slash Clark Kent, and it's been an amazing journey to see. He's been working on it for a long time. Started way back when, and now, and there's no such thing as luck. It's mm-hmm. he's been working for. I mean, there is luck, but it's we work for it. We create the energy that we want, the stuff to happen, and you put it out there. And he was born to play this role. I'm proud of him. Our family's really proud of him. It's been fun watching him. My favorite part is watching him do the interviews mm-hmm. with the different shows, just because he's brilliant, and he's we're so, like I said before, we're really grounded, and it's just he's a good man.
Has all this attention had an effect on your family life?
Yeah. My parents are getting phone calls from radio stations and TV stations, and you know they want to do interviews, they want to put them in the paper, they want to do this. And my dad actually, I got married in October.
Congratulations!
And thank you. And he decided to put on the deck and everything that my mom has always wanted it for like 20 years because of the wedding and family coming over, but initially because of the paparazzi that uh-huh. would be coming by the house, you know. And
uh-huh.
So that's changed the materialistic part of the house.
Seeing your brother's rise to fame, has that affected your artistic journey?
No. I've wanted it the same. We just took off a different path in different ways. He made it first. And I'm next. So
I agree.
It's just I'm older, and so people kind of were like, well, what happened to Sarah and blah, 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 and this and that. Well, we all have, like I said, we all have our time and our place and the opportunities that come to us first. And so I'm working on mine.
Well, let's hear what you're working on. Can you throw us another song?
Sure. Do you want me to do the song from...
That would be
from
great.
Absolutely. The compilation.
Okay, my guest is Sarah Routh, and you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
Okay, so this song's called You're Never Gone. And on the album, this is You Hear Live Acoustic on killradio.org.
Do you hear the sirens of the city? Restless soul, I'm calling out your name. Streetlight beams on your sleepless face now. World weary and you carry all the blame. When you find me and you can't find you, you're never Whisper your secrets, I'll tell no one. Through the dark, it's so hard to keep you inside. Do you break free wherever you fly? My soul, take me by your side. You're never home, you're never gone, but hear my hope lives on. You give me faith, I give you light. You give me breath, I hold you tight. But if
that's Sarah Roth on Is Good on killradio.org. So,
can I explain that song?
Yes, please do.
That song was actually written as if the city were, Metropolis, were singing the song to Superman. So if you listen to the lyrics again.
I heard a lot of references to being in the clouds and.
Right. It's because he's been gone for so long, now the city feels like. Listen, I've got this message that I want to tell you in the form of a song. So, listen.
What was the genesis of this song? Did someone come to you and say, "Hey, you know, write a song for Superman Returns"?
No. It was always an idea because of the connection. And hell, why not? You know, mm-hmm. I maybe it could get in the movie, maybe not. And it's a great project for me to work on. So I approached him. My co-writer Michael and I said, "Let's write a song. Let's do this." And he got so excited about it. He's like, "Hell yeah, let's work on this." So it was fast. It came together really fast. I went out and I recorded the EP, and we wrote this at the same time. And I was there for 4 days and had 103 fever.
Oh,
so it was all kind of a mixed up crazy world out there.
Yeah,
at that point.
That's a high fever.
Yeah, and then I went back a second time and re-recorded some stuff, and then we pushed it to Brian Singer, the director, and also John Ottman, who was scoring the movie. And Brian didn't want any music, like source music, in the movie, which is his thing. He doesn't do any music in his movies. He just, it's all scored.
Yeah.
Even Usual
Suspects.
Yeah,
thinking back to his other films. Yeah, that's,
yeah. So.
Which is the way I prefer it, personally speaking,
it
when I'm watching a movie.
He thinks that, and it's true, it takes away from, I mean, it could enhance, but for what he wanted,
yeah.
It would take away from the message of the movie. So we found out about another project, which was the compilation album. I got a meeting set up with Doug Frank from Warner Music, and he's like, where have you been? We need this in here. And it was very, very last minute. Wow. They were going to print it like the next week. Had to find a new producer who remixed it. It was so fast. Like, and that day I got a lawyer. Thank God, she's awesome.
Is the CD available now?
Oh, yeah, everywhere. iTunes, Amazon. You can go to my website, sararouth.com, and then there's links to those also. You can get them at the store, like Borders, Barnes & Noble in the Midwest, Best Buy. It's on limited numbers, but if you tell the people that you want them and where the hell are they, then maybe they'll order some more. The distribution was great.
Right.
I don't know who's going to be listening to
this. But is this ultimately going to lead to a an album of your own?
Yeah. I've been working with somebody on getting some stuff started. We're writing a song together and to see how we work together. And I definitely within the year, a year from now, I'll have an album.
Now, I had a band in here recently, and they were saying how a year is like a second to a band. Like, if you say you're going to make an album in a year, that's like snap.
I lied. When I get, I'm going to Australia for a month. I'm leaving for on the 30th with my husband.
Is that your honeymoon?
No, he's from there.
Oh,
he's
cool.
Aussie. So, and I'm going to be playing some shows down there. So, you Aussies that are listening in on the show, well, probably they're asleep right now. But when they listen to
when they download it later,
I'll be playing down there a couple places.
Well, that ought to be exciting. Completely different atmosphere.
Definitely. I'll be really drunk and I won't remember anything, but, you know, it's going to be fun. It's totally going to be fun. But when I get back, I'm going to be going to New York and writing with some writers that are out there and just really dive into it. It's so hard having a 9-to-5. I run a restaurant here, and being able to do what you love and you know you want to have time for it, but living in this city,
mm-hmm.
It's like you could either be chilling with the bum on the corner and doing what you really love, or you gotta kind of put that on the side.
I think
and
people generally
live in an apartment.
Really underestimate the amount of sacrifice involved in being an artist, be it
right.
actor or musician. People don't recognize that the kind of jobs that you have to take that allow you to do what you want to do, or the kind of jobs that you have to pass up that interfere with being able to do with what you want to do.
Exactly.
It's a serious challenge. And I think it's half of what makes an artist is being, you know, willing to make those sacrifices.
Right.
Now, not too long ago, you received an award from the SoCal Music Awards.
Yes,
tell me about
Music
that process.
Awards. That was
Best
great.
Folk Artist of the Year.
Best Folk Artist of the Year. That was a great time. I had made some friends with SunsetStrip.com, the guys that were running that, and then the guy that was running, Martin Brown, who was the guy that was in charge of the Southern California Music Awards, he was with them one day and found out that I was a musician and said, hey, there's this award show, you know, do you want to submit some music? And I'm like, yeah. This was my first time ever doing anything like this, and why not, because I'm doing a lot of firsts here in LA, so mm-hmm. let's just do it. And I submitted it, and then I was just kind of gave it a little blessing when I put it uh-huh. in the post box, and then I don't know, a month later I got the nominations came through and my name was on there, and I shit my pants a little bit. And then
so they just have like a series of judges that listen to all the submissions.
Yeah,
and
exactly. And then the awards show was down in San Pedro at the theater, the big theater that's down there that's slipping my mind right now.
The San Pedrothon?
No.
I don't know. I just
it's a huge theater, old theater down there. Anyway, and so there's a whole bunch of family that was here that lives down in that area that doesn't get to do anything up here, so they all came to the show.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, we all dressed up, and you could drink inside, and it was just very laid back and fun, and they had actual awards, and you'd have to go up and actually say thank you for winning your award.
Did you have a little speech? Did you thank the little people?
I really didn't. I mean, because it was my first, and I listened to the other people, and it was kind of a conglomerate of music in our folk.
It was a broad definition of
very,
folk.
Very much, and I didn't know exactly what they were looking for, and so when it got down to my time, you know, it was great. It was like winning a Grammy, you know, going up and you have to walk up and accept your award. And I just said that, you know, well, we're all blessed and thank you. And this
without
is awesome.
Me, none of this would have been possible.
Exactly. That's exactly what I said. But
what kind of effect did that have on your musical brain? Like you've been. I mean, that must be very validating. You've been working really hard, and you have some sort of official source tell you, you know what, we think you're the best of the group of people. Did that have an effect on what you wrote after that, and when you approached a song, be like, you know what, I'm really good at this. I should really put more of my heart into it?
You know, I don't think that more of my heart could get into any of the songs, mm-hmm. but honestly, it's a great title to have for this year.
Sure.
Until I maybe win it next year or
right.
whatever.
That's why they passed them out in February, right? So you have all year to
exactly.
gloat about it.
They did approach me, however, because they were going to have winners of this year perform mm-hmm. for next year's. And so that would be really cool. But I really haven't been approached by anybody saying, hey, you're the winner of this. Why don't you come do this or whatever? Because it wasn't marketed in a broad mm-hmm. way, which is really too bad because it was an amazing show, and it's awesome for the indie artists that are out there right now, as well as like the Orange County Music Festival, the Los Angeles, the LA Music Fest is a little bit different because it's huge. Mm-hmm. And but these are like smaller music festivals that anybody can just get into, and the process of it is eye-opening and just really exciting as well. Even if I didn't win, just the process of it would have fulfilled my little dream, you know. So
that's great.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I thank you to Southern California Music Festival. And
Before we run out of time, can you play another song for us?
Sure.
What do you have?
Are you going to play any of the other stuff?
Yeah, I could.
No, I was just wondering.
Well, I figure we have about 10 minutes, so I want to get at least one live song out of you, and then if you're up for it, maybe we can get two.
Yeah, let's do.
Or you can just hang out all day and just entertain me all day. That's what this show is about. It's about me being too lazy to go out and see bands. I have them come in here,
that's it.
Play for me. I don't care. Rock. I had a string quartet in here once. It was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was an experience.
This song's called Now or Never. I wrote it about it for a friend of mine. It was about a girlfriend of mine who was debating on losing her virginity to just some guy, you know, and she was older, and so I don't know, I just wrote it because I was inspired.
All right, you're listening to Sarah Routh on Is Good, killradio.org.
Black-haired beauty, your question so sad. You will not find your answers today. Search high and low for the feeling of love. Under the moon tonight, in the clouds turning gray. The trip you bought your ticket for is an experience you'll soon forget. Wishful dreams of an explosion are lost. You think if you don't live now, we will all turn to dust. Is it time for you to cross that line? Now or never seems to be on your mind. Don't get lost in this feeling, my friend. It is true, lust leaves you blind.
precious, what is yours, my friend? Your love is something not to lend. Give your heart and your soul to the one. Once it is broken, it's so hard to mend. Is it time for you to cross that line? Now or never seems to be on your mind. Don't get lost in this feeling, my friend. It is.
Fuck yeah. That was great. That was awesome.
You
thank
just
you
said
so
the
much.
F-word.
I did not. FCC, is that the F word? Mm. That's another song based on an experience you had being in contact with another person. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, is this an ongoing theme for you? Do you get a lot of your inspiration from the people that you meet?
Other people.
So is that seriously an undergoing theme for you? Is most of your work about other the people that you see and sort of observing them?
I think that... let me think back. Yeah. Yes. Actually, they're all about... I mean, people are the most amazing influences. How somebody sits, what somebody wears, how they act, how they chew their food, how they blow a bubble, how sad they are, how inverted they, you know, introverted they are, how bubbly. I mean, just everything you can learn off. Just we would be dead if we didn't want to know something more about the person that we're sitting next to.
But like a lot of musicians, though, they tend to write. Maybe because they have trouble
themselves?
Expressing themselves otherwise. Maybe it's hard for them to open up to people. So in writing a song, they can really tell what's really going on in their heart of hearts, deep down inside. But that doesn't seem to be your inspiration.
I haven't written really any sad, I'm going to kill myself and take a lot of drugs. And
if you do, can I remix it?
Yeah. Right. No, which is fine. For some people, that's the way they go. That's how their music is.
Well, I don't even necessarily just mean songs that are sad, but songs that are deeply personal, that, you know, maybe the outside world doesn't need to get it.
They all are, in one way or another. Mm-hmm. There's all another meaning underneath what... There's a lot of different levels to each one of the songs. I mean...
So even when you're singing about these other people, you're really also expressing
myself.
How you view them, how they come through you.
Right, right. And that's, I think that's what's the amazing thing about music, whether it be just instrumental or whether it be something with lyrics, it's how the next person perceives what you're meaning. You know, like, did you mean this or did you mean this? And then when I am confronted with that question, I just, what does it mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it means for me. is to be able to touch that person and say, that's what that song's about, because you made it that song. You made it your own. And I think that that's, back to your previous question, how my audience responds to my songs. It's because they connect and they live the song through them. That's kind of what I, that's what I want, essentially, for them to be able to do. Not just to dance and have a good time. I mean, that's part of it, too. But just to rock out. I feel it.
Cool. How far do you think you can go with this kind of music? How big? Like, what does success mean for you? How do you know when you've made it?
That's a good question. Success. I'm living it right now. Success.
The ability to do your work and enjoy it.
To do my work and to enjoy it and to pass it along to others. That's really all it is for me. Of course.
I mean, do you have a vision of yourself?
Of course. I see myself playing at the Hollywood Bowl. I see myself, you know.
Who are some artists maybe that whose careers you see, like, you know, if I had a career like that, that would be just fine.
Are you going to cut this big space out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know it. I do it with every show.
Wow. Okay. If I were to do a show today and I'd have somebody open for me and somebody close for me, can I say it that way?
Sure. Okay. That's great.
It's a tie both ways.
Okay.
To open, it would be Janice. I'm sorry. Sorry, Janice, not really you.
Yeah.
You're there, but not really.
Wow. That's
these are living dead. Okay.
Okay.
Joni Mitchell and Carole King open.
Mm-hmm.
And then me.
And then you.
And then me. And then closing would be Joan Jett and the Rolling Stones.
Nice. And then after the Rolling Stones show, people would be like, bring Sarah back.
We'd just be drinking. I'm not really that big of a drinker, but I really do enjoy a good, strong whiskey.
Well, that's unusual for a female artist, I think. Usually, I mean, not to promote stereotypes or anything,
right,
but usually you associate that with the male rockers. It's a hard drink, whiskey.
Right. That's where the Janice comes in, because she was a smoker and a whiskey drinker. And
I drink Zinfandel out of a cardboard box.
That's good, too.
No,
that'll,
I don't.
Get
I'm
you
kidding.
Effed up for sure. It makes you have a really big headache.
But is it maybe I shouldn't go along this line of questioning,
no,
but
is
drinking a part of, I don't want to say drinking like in the negative context,
right,
but sort of being out, being at a bar, being laid back, you know, having a few drinks, is that part of your musical world? Do you sort of see that when you think about playing out? Do you think about being up there? The portrait of you, does it include that whiskey?
The portrait includes it, yes.
With you and your guitar.
But it doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a staple. I mean, it is, but it isn't. Just as long as I have water up there, then I'm okay.
Right.
You know. But I like to, when I'm playing out, it depends on the venue, but like tonight at the Cat Club, I'll go early because I want to feel the crowd out first and I want to, you know, check out the bands beforehand also and just get it. I like to go early to feel it and to... and then have my one drink before. I can't, my parents can definitely tell you she can't drink more than two because I'll mess up my stuff.
That affects your ability to play.
Yeah. I'll leave it for afterwards. But it's not necessary. Say if I were on a diet that needed not have any alcohol in it, I would survive. I'd be okay.
Where is Cat Club?
The Cat Club's on, it's on West Sunset Boulevard. It's Sunset and San Vicente.
And what time is your show tonight?
9:30. It's $5 to get in, which is really cheap for Los Angeles. I make it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And Ian is the bartender.
Who, where can people get more information?
You can go to my website, which is www.sarah.com, or you can also go to MySpace. Surprise. It's MySpace.com/LA Songbird, and that's all spelt out.
Do you spend a lot of time marketing and promoting yourself, or do you rely on your live performances to build your audience?
Well, since I don't really have anything to sell or to market, I have little stickers that I give away, and I kind of join the graffiti club, and sometimes I'll have them with me to stick them on the mailbox or something.
Oh, cool.
You know, it's not really defacing property, but...
No, I'm freeway blogging is the wave of the future, I think.
Right, right. I don't know. I'm not one to, like, send out mass emails to people that I don't know. I find that that's a little intrusive, and be like, who the hell is this person? Delete, 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 delete.
But is that a priority for you right now? You know, making sure people hear your music?
It is, but I trust that it'll be through the people that I've already seen the shows.
Mm-hmm. And they'll tell a friend, and we'll tell a friend.
Exactly. It's a domino effect. That's what music is.
Cool.
I mean, so.
Do you have time for one more song?
Yes, definitely.
Fantastic.
Definitely. This song is called Welcome to Me. And yeah.
All right. You're listening to Sarah Ralph, who's my guest on Is Good on killradio.org.
Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Branch, my friend, keep on flying, for it will never end. They extend themselves beyond your reach, but please keep on climbing. When you reach the top of the smallest tree, there you'll find me, outstretched arms and love to set us free. Welcome to me, my friend, my friend. Welcome. To the widest fields, pick only the wildest flowers. There you will find me laughing among the daisies and wheat. For in the roses you find thorns. Why touch those that make you bleed? Welcome to me, my friend, your wildflower. Welcome to me. Welcome to me, my friend, where the grass grows lush and the sky never ends. Here by my side we smile carelessly, entangling ourselves with dreams of desire. Me, the wind fresh and young, you soaring higher. For the thought of an end to our flight is unbearable. Vastest of oceans, for it seems a never-ending journey, till one day you come upon a small island, one to call your own and explore. There I'll be waiting on the hills far away, with my wildflowers blooming and my trees growing small, all for you, my friend. To fly to rest in, to fly to rest in. Welcome to me, my friend, welcome to me, yeah. Welcome to me, my friend, where the grass grows lush and the sky never ends. Here by my side we smile carelessly, entangling ourselves with dreams of desire. Me, the wind fresh and young, you soaring higher. For the thought of an end to a flight, he's unbearable. For listening to Kill Radio Is Good with John Hirschfield. You can visit us here at killradio.org at any time, because it is internet radio, the way to go. I'm Sarah Routh. You can visit me at www.sararouth.com. Welcome to me, my friend, welcome to.
Sarah, thank you so much for coming in and sharing your wonderful work and your terrific personality and your good cheer. And everybody should go to the Cat Club tonight, see your show.
9:30.
And you'll be gone for a month, and then you're going to
come back and
treat
some more
California
shows.
Some more shows. Sarah, thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you, John.